All right. Well, we're excited to have Brother Terrell Hudson with us. Brother, won't you come a hand and give him a hand as he comes today.
All righty. I need to push the button here. Is that what it is on, isn't it? Well, I'm glad to be here. And thank you all for being in God's house. It's a joy to be in God's house on God's day with God's word in your hand and God's spirit in your heart and God's people all around you. That's a good thing. Amen. And I'm glad to be here and been looking forward to these days. And I am glad that you are here. And thank you so much for coming. And I'm looking forward to these days of a revival meeting. I've done enough revivals to know that, boy, they come and go so quickly. Just a few minutes, it's going to be Wednesday night, and I'm going to say, see, I told you, and it's going to be over. I mean, it'll seem like that anyway. I mean, I know that's technically not true, but it'll seem that way. So what we're going to do, we need to do right now. Amen? And thank you for being here. Be back tonight now. Don't miss tonight. If you miss tonight, we're going to talk about you or something. No, we wouldn't do that. I want you to be here. And, my daddy always said, we're going to cut a bee tree and they're going to be honey and you're going to miss it unless you're here. I believe that I like Sunday night church. Amen. It's, 5% of independent Baptist churches per year are closing on Sunday night. Just closing. And you say, well, the preachers ought not do that. Well, I agree with you, but they get discouraged when nobody comes back. And preachers get discouraged. They get a sermon ready and nobody comes. I told folks at Marine Heights, if you don't come back on Sunday night, you shouldn't say Lord's Day. You ought to just have to say Lord's Morning. That's all you're giving him. Amen. And the Bible says, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It seems to me like we ought to add an afternoon service, not cancel the night service. That is me, but boy, that scared somebody. You all looking at me like I'm crazy. But be back at God's house tonight. Will you do that? These days will come and go. I tell you, I believe God wants to bless. I believe that. And but God blesses on His terms, not ours. And be in His house and invite somebody to come with you. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it will become part of history. So what we're going to do, we need to do right now. Amen. We got to do grocery shopping. Walmart stays open all night in Dayton. I don't know about here, but TV show. Set that goofy DVR or whatever you call it. I mean, kids got homework. Well, maybe they ought to do it in study hall instead of sleeping or something. Amen. You know, I mean, get it done. And Pastor Nathan's not asking us to stay here till Wednesday night. Church is just an hour and a half or something, and it's just a part of the day. Surely we can do that. Amen. If you'll be here, invite somebody, and then pray that God would meet with us and do something we talk about in heaven. Amen. My name's Terrell Hudson, and I told the Sunday school class this morning, I was literally in church before I had a name. They couldn't decide what to call me. So back in those days, you could fill the birth certificate out and send it back. So they called me Boy at the hospital when I went to church. I went to church, they'd have a name. Then they decided on, my dad calls me Turl, and my mom calls me Terrell, and I still don't know. So you talk about an identity crisis, I got one, you know. But I've been in church all of my life, and even if you're not all that sharp, you can learn a little bit if you go that long. And people, no preacher brings a revival. I don't have one in my pocket. I can't, and there are no four perfect sermons where just say this and God will send a revival. It doesn't work that way. You say, well, when will the church have revival? I think what each of us need to do is, heard about an old fellow once, and he got down on his knees and he drew a circle around himself and he said, Lord, just send revival inside this circle. Amen. Just send revival inside this circle. I can't have revival for you, but I can get God. I can ask God, what do I need to do? And Lord, help me. And I want to feel something in my heart. Somebody came along and looked at that fellow and said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm praying that God would send revival inside this circle. He said, could you make that circle a little bigger? The postman came along, saw two men kneeled in prayer inside a circle. He'd never seen that before. He said, what in the world are you guys doing? He said, we're praying God would send revival inside of this circle. He said, make it a little bigger. Amen. God sent revival. And I still believe in revival. I believe it's biblical. A lot of people don't. I appreciate your pastor who still believes in it and has it. They told Billy Sunday one day, he said, revivals don't last. You got to keep having another one and another one and another one. They said, revivals don't last. Billy Sunday said, neither do baths, but I'm going to keep taking them. Amen. You know, and it's good ever so often that we get revived and stirred. And I'm old-fashioned, hard-headed, and all of that. You all will catch that real quick. But our kids are grown now, and we have grandchildren. We've been blessed with five great-grandkids. Grandkids are wonderful. They're God's reward for not killing your kids. Did you know that? You know, and so hang in there, and it'll be all right. You know, that. I remember when our kids left. We got new carpet and fixed the house up and everything. You know, it was a. You know, the Bible plainly says, train up a child in the way he should go. and then they come back and they bring grandkids with them. And that's wonderful, you know, that's good. Our little grandkids are the oldest one, 7. I pray that God would let my grandkids see some services like I remember when I was a child, where God comes down. And the Shekinah glory fills a holy place. And you just don't understand all that's happening, but you know that God's in it. And sinners repent, and Christians get revived, and things are changed at home, and they don't ever want it to be like they were again. I still believe God can do that, don't you? Amen? And meeting here for 4 or 5 times won't do that, but if we'll meet God on His terms, then God, I still believe God wants to send a revival. Take your Bible this morning, look at Psalm 31, and thank you so much, preacher, for letting me come, and thank you all for putting up with me, and the motel room is wonderful, and I just enjoyed the Sunday school hour, and enjoyed being here, and don't know many of you, hopefully we can fix that in these days, and get to know you a little better. But again, it's a privilege to be here. I really mean that. Psalm 31 and verse number 1, David wrote and said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Look at verse number 17. Again, much the same thought. David said, let me not be ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee, let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. 2 times there in those verses, David said, Lord, help me to not be ashamed. God, help us to not be ashamed. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church, and Lord, what you've done here. Lord, I pray that the very greatest days of this church would still lie ahead. I thank you for the pastor and his dear family, and Lord, good folks that we've met here already. Thank you for each one that's here, Lord. I believe not by accident. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts. Lord, start with mine. Lord, surely there's room to do better and to do more and to be more like you. And Lord, help me to, Lord, by your grace, that would be accomplished in my life. And Lord, I pray that would be all of our prayer. Lord, I don't know these dear folks. Lord, everybody seems so kind and friendly. And Lord, I appreciate that. But Lord, I can't look in their hearts, but you can. And Lord, maybe some here, Lord, they just need that stirring in their soul once again. And Lord, just remember the time perhaps when they were more on fire than they are now. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. And Lord, maybe there's some here that's never been saved. Lord, I pray that they would understand that salvation is not in a preacher. It's not in a church. It's not in a denomination. It's not because we put money in a plate or sing or work in the church. But Lord, it's in Christ, in Christ alone. And Lord, I pray that they would understand that. And Lord, would turn to Him in simple childlike faith and come to know Him and whom to know is life eternal. Or maybe they have sincere and honest questions. And Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, the Bible has the answer. And there's people in this room that would love to be their friend, sit down with them, and open up the Bible, show them what the Bible says. And Lord, I pray that if there be those here not ready for eternity, that this would be the day. Lord, that they would get the most important issue in their life settled. Lord, speak to every heart, and when the invitation comes, I pray we would see, Lord, decisions made that need to be made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. David said, let me never be ashamed. I don't think that David is talking there about just embarrassment. I don't think that's the thought at all. I believe that you ever have your kids just do something crazy and the mom and dad sit back and go, just shake their head and kind of laugh. I think sometimes God looks down on us and just shakes his head and laughs. You know, I mean, I believe he takes joy. I mean that. Some people think God's sitting on the throne with a big club just waiting for an excuse to clobber somebody. That's not the God I have. He's a loving heavenly Father. Amen. And he loves his children. He loves you. He really does. And I believe God sometimes kind of just smiles at us when we do something. Maybe I can go to White Castle and never spill a drop. If I go on one of them restaurants that has a white tablecloth, you know, one of them little old mint leaves and the iced tea, Diane looks at me and says, just go ahead and knock it over now. Get it over with. You know, I mean, I'll guarantee you, you know, I don't know why, but I do. It's embarrassed. Sometimes we ask a silly question. You ever ask a silly question? And then you realize how silly it was. You can put a car, both axles, bury them in the mud, get 6 or 7 teenage boys behind it pushing and grunting, sit there and have the tires spinning and mud flying in the air. Somebody will inevitably pull up, roll down the window, and what do they say? Are you stuck? No, we're just playing in the mud. You know, I mean, you know, there you go. I heard about a train was going down the track, you know, and all of a sudden it went thump. Didn't sound good. The conductor come back and said, don't worry, folks, it'll be all right. We hit a cow, but it'll be all right. And some lady looked at him and said, well, was it on the tracks? He said, no, ma'am, we chased her all the way to the barn, but we got her. Amen, you know, we got her. But you know, sometimes we ask silly questions. I don't think that's what God's talking about at all. And then, let me say this, the Bible's very plain. There's some things that we ought to be ashamed of. The Bible says 2 times in the book of Jeremiah, were they ashamed or they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, and neither could they blush. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you saw a man blush? When I was a little boy, we blushed. You'd see something, hear something kind of happen, you know. You kind of turn red in the face. We don't do that anymore. Seen it all, heard it all, done it all. We've just got so used to sin that we don't. When's the last time you saw a woman blush? When I was a child, you wouldn't read the headlines on them magazines at Kroger's when you're checking out that they have on there now. Talking about stuff that ought to maybe be discussed between a man and his wife behind a closed door, maybe a doctor, but now it's there it is. I mean, we're not ashamed anymore. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed at the way we're acting. I'm ashamed of the way some people dress. Lord have mercy. I was at the grocery store the other day, and there's more loin and thigh and rump out in the aisles than there is back in the meat department. Now, that's the truth if I ever told it. You know, isn't that the truth? You know, and my soul, you know, I mean, put something on, amen. You know, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that we're killing 4,000 babies every day in America. I'm ashamed of that. The most innocent part of our population, the part that ought to receive the greatest protection, that's the part that we've turned on. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed that we have decided that we will define marriage and that God will have to go along with our rules. And if we want to have Adam and Steve, then that's the way we're going to do it, or Beth and Beulah or whatever. And if you start that, what's next? Amen? God still said it's one man to one woman. Now that's God's definition. And when you find me a nation that's taken our attitude toward marriage that went very far down that road without meeting the judgment of God, you won't find it. There's some things that God calls an abomination, and God is still on the throne, not us. And I am telling you, we've lost something that my grandkids are growing up in a nation very different than the one that you and I, if you're my age, have grown up. I'm ashamed of that. Amen? You see, folks, you listen, we need to get back to where we're ashamed of sin. Amen? Sin. You say, you're supposed to preach on revival. You're not going to have much revival until you take care of sin first. So you say, well, what sin are you talking about, preacher? Whatever one of the Holy Ghost is talking to you about right now, that one. You ever have the Holy Ghost sit in your lap and thump you on the chest? Hey, bud. This. Or that. So often we have these little secret pet sins. Isn't that true? Watch that show after your wife goes to bed that you'd never had on that screen if she was still awake.
Come on now.
You go off on the convention for the work and you get off in Chicago and you act a little different than you act in Circleville, Ohio. There's still a God in heaven that can see what goes on in L.A. or Las Vegas or whatever. You got that little bottle, get out in the garage, you think your wife doesn't know about it, but she does. And I'm just telling you, that we get these little pet sins and we think we can handle them. There's a song I can't sing, but sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I promise you. You know, we get sin in our life. You say, what's that got to do with revival? Because when we take care of the sin in our life, then see, God will use a scarred vessel, and I am very thankful for that. And you ought to be too.
Amen.
You say, well, I've got this past, and let me tell you about it. But you know, I probably don't need to know a thing about it. It's between you and God, and if it's under the blood, God's forgot about it. Why don't you forget about it and go on and serve God? Amen? Don't you let the devil beat you up with something that God's already forgiven you for. Amen? Be godly. God has forgotten about it. You forget about it. Go on and serve God. And love the Lord. But that God will use a scarred vessel. And I'm glad because all of sin comes from the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Bless our hearts. Us poor little Baptist preachers. We mess up all the time. One of the things we do is all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Bible don't say that. Some of y'all believe it or say, I think it does. No, it doesn't. You think it does, but it doesn't. 99 out of 100 Baptist preachers think it does, but it doesn't. It says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of our righteous acts, what we do when we're trying to do right, even that doesn't meet God's standard. Lord, have mercy on us when we're not doing our very, very best. Amen? All of our righteousnesses are all of us. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanseth us from all sin. And God will use a scarred vessel. But you hear a little preacher, he will not use a dirty vessel. He does not have to. You got unconfessed sin in your life. You say, what sin? Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you right now. That thing that comes in, you get down to pray and God says, let's talk about this one thing. That besetting sin. That thing that you think is the secret. Whatever it is, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay for it. God wants us, when we repent, then we get in the state that God can send revival. Does that make sense? God will not send revival to an unrepentant church or life or nation. Will not do it. We always say, God bless America. I heard an old lady say one time, why should he? Why should he? But yet when we repent, God is so, sin will get out of hand. You think you can handle it, you can't. Y'all ever hear the story about Larry Walters? Married to Larry Walters. Go home and Google him. Larry Walters. He lived out in L.A. If you ever fly into L.A., LAX, you're trying to land up, there's a bunch of roofs, thousands of them. They all look the same from the air. He lived in one of them. And Larry Walters, true story. Larry Walters, every Saturday afternoon, he'd sit out there in that backyard and he drank beer. He all not done that, but he did. And he was very bored with life. So he decided he'd have him a little fun. So what he did was, he went to the Army Surplus Store and bought himself 44 of them helium balloons. Got them all full of helium and put them in the SUV and somehow or another got them home. And he got a bunch of buddies to help him. And he got him a lawn chair. It's a true story. So he got his 44 helium air balloons and he got him a lawn chair. And he got his buddies to help him. And he tied those balloons to that lawn chair. And he went in, and what he's going to do, he's going to float up about 100 feet and float all over the neighborhood and laugh at everybody and have fun. Sound like a plan? So he goes in the house and he gets him a peanut butter jelly sandwich and a six-pack of beer. Y'all not drink, but he did. He put him a BB gun under his arm and out he comes. He's going to eat that sandwich, drink his beer, float around about 100 feet in the air. And when he's done, he's going to shoot them balloons. He's going to ease that thing right down. Y'all think this may not be a good idea? Out there, let us be said, all right, turn this right easy. 16,000 feet. straight. You heard about white knuckles as this white dairy. I'm telling you, 16,000 feet in the air. The beer's gone. That's good. Amen. That's good. Peanut butter jelly sandwich is good. BB gun's long gone. There he is. 16. They call the police. Here come the police. They're chasing Larry. They're going all over L.A. There he goes. You know, they got fire trucks. They got news crews. Fire trucks, news crews, police, TV stations. They're chasing Larry all over. There he goes. They said, how do you help a guy in a lawn chair 16,000 feet? I mean, what do you do for him? You know, they send up helicopters and blowing Larry around all over L.A. You know, here you go. There's a pilot flying a Continental DC-10. And he called the air traffic controller at the LAX International Airport at the air traffic tower, and he said, there's a guy up here in a lawn chair. That's what he said. And they're taking the airplane way out on the Pacific to bring him in. And finally, mercifully, that helium leaked out and they brought him down. They said, Larry, why'd you do that? He said, I was bored. You don't do any good yet? No. You know, no. Christian, you think you got a plan. If that plan involves hanging on to a sin, it will, at the end, it will bite like a serpent. God will send revival to those that are willing to repent. A.W. Tozer said this, when we repent, do a good job. That's better than you caught. You know how much Baptists like to repent? Lord, forgive us when we fail with it. Amen. Pass the beans. How long I repent? God, forgive me for watching that TV show. God, forgive me for the lottery ticket. God, forgive me for talking about my neighbor. God, forgive me for your tithe in my pocket. God, forgive me for not loving my wife the way I should. God, forgive me for not reading my Bible with my little kid and being willing to make changes in our life. God will send revival there. Does that make sense? That means amen. There's some more. But thank God we ought to be ashamed of sin. Real quick. But there's some things, bless God, we should never be ashamed of. Let me give you some real quick. Look at Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Romans 1 and verse number 16.
Amen.
Now watch this. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God help us to never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed. God help you. You say, Brother Trill, who would be ashamed of the gospel? I think this crowd that's taken the blood out of the songbook and out of the Sunday school directory and says that we're not going to be a slaughterhouse religion anymore, I think they're ashamed of the gospel. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the... There's a guy out in California. He got this thing started a few years ago. That it was the death of Christ and not the blood. I know too much Bible for that, Buster. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. The Bible, the blood shed and the blood applied. And when you take the blood out of the gospel, you're ashamed of the gospel that the New Testament presents. Amen? God help us to understand that. I believe that those who deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, I believe they're ashamed of the gospel. People say it matters not if Jesus rose from the dead. All that matters is that his truth survived the grave. Hogwash. The Bible says that he arose bodily from the grave. Yeah. Jesus came out of the grave, defeated death, hell, and the grave. Shook the keys in the devil's face and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And those who deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, the Bible, the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection. You deny the resurrection and you're ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Odell Wood McQuaid, he's a poet, and he heard Dr. John Jasper preach. And Dr. Jasper is one of my favorites. And Dr. Jasper, he would personify, like, death is a monster that crawls through the window and all of that. And he heard Dr. Jasper preach on the resurrection of Christ. And kind of like, and he went home and he wrote a poem that I've always loved. He said, it goes something like this. He said, now, Father Time met pale King Death sitting by a tomb. Hello, old friend. I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom. You might say that. Sly Death replied, and his smile slid up his face. Inside reposed that Jesus man who said he'd save your race. And you, Time, why are you stopping here? Ain't you got things to do? Well, I come here today to draw the veil and let the morning through. Say, why are you watching just one grave with all your bats on the... Seems like you'd be out there rambling around and smiting folks with pain. Well, this one's something special. He challenged me, they said. Said he'd rest here just 3 days and stir and walk away. Now, I'm the conqueror, you know. They don't talk up to me. When I steps in and cuts them down, it's for eternity. Well, I can testify to that, responded Father Time. Ain't seen one shake off the dust since you've been in your prime. Well, I got other things to do, and I must be on my way, and I'll see you when I come back by to make another day. So Mr. Time went up the hill to bid the sun to rise. Left Death standing by the tomb, looking strong and wise. Next day, Time ambled by again. How are things, he queried. Kind of quiet, Death replied, and I'm starting to be weary. Now, I won't be here when you come by about this time tomorrow, because I'm anxious to be on my way and spread some grief and sorrow. My father Time was quite surprised when he came back to see Death quivering on the ground. Frightful agony. His eyes had set, his neck was marked, his clothes in disarray, and it wasn't difficult to see that Death had had his day. What happened, Death? Asked Father Time. What makes you look so bad? I've never seen you shaking so, or seemed so scared and sad. Death pulled himself upon a rock, looking sick and humble. He hung his head, he wrung his hands, and Time could hear him mumble. Was sitting here before the dawn, about to take my stroll, when all at once this whole earth began to really roll. That rolling stone jumped off the door and skipped on down the hill. Then everything grew quiet and dark. It was like the earth stood still. And I saw him standing in the door. He did not move or speak. He just looked at me, and all at once, I felt so tired and weak. He came and got a hold of me. He threw me to the ground. He put his foot here on my neck and took my keys and crown. Two angels came to talk with him. They glistened like the sun. He said, the plan's all finished now, and redemption's work is done. And as they passed the garden gate, I heard him say just then, he set me free my captives and giving gifts to men. And Time and Death met once more off yonder by the gate. It's good to see you, said old Time. I've wondered about your fate. Well, I'm just a lowly servant now. I ain't got much time to roam. I just opened this old gate, and I helped the saints go home. Weren't you glad that Jesus Christ arose bodily from the grave? Defeated death, hell, and the grave. And now that we that are in Christ and know him, we serve a Savior that's defeated the grave, and in him we need fear not. That which could not hurt our Savior, in him we share that victory over that same grave. And when someone denies the bodily resurrection of Christ, they are, in my view, ashamed of the gospel that Paul said we should never be ashamed of. Amen? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Speak up for Christ. Say something. God help us never be. And then God help us not be ashamed of the Bible. Mark 8 and verse number 38. Bible says, whosoever, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. And this adulterous and sinful generation of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Amen. God help us to never be ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I'm not ashamed. I believe it's the inspired. I believe it's infallible. I believe it's inerrant. I believe that this is the Word of God. Period. I believe that. Amen? A lot of people mock that. You kids in school. If you're going to some schools, they're going to laugh at the Bible. They're going to say that it's not true. They're going to say that it's what they're going to do, all kinds of things. But you listen to me. You need never be ashamed of your Bible. You need never be it. They'll say you came from a monkey. Old R.G. was R.G. Lee. So once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, but now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Amen? That's it. You never heard such nonsense, come on. He said, oh, come on, preacher, it's kind of been proven. No! No! Well, we came from this, came from that, came from this. Well, where did the first stuff come from? Amen? God was a God in heaven. I'm not going to argue theology of creation here with you. I'm just telling you, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, I'll tell you something. If you believe Genesis 1:1, you won't have any trouble with the rest of the Bible. You got it. You believe that first verse, and you got it. Well, hasn't science proven the Bible not true? No, it's not true. They've been wrong all along. They used to say that if you get sick, they've got to bleed you. They killed poor old George Washington. Did you know that? That's where the barber pulled that red and white thing. Once you get sick, you know the barber, he cuts you, and they say you get better. I know some barbers still doing some of that. But anyway, that Bible says the life of the flesh is the blood. Used to say the world's flat. God talked about the circle of the earth. They used to say that, somebody's sick, and you touch them, and then you touch them. Doctors would treat people, never wash their hands. God told the Hebrews, said, if you touch someone sick, wash your hands under running water. Running water. Not just water, running water. And then in, 1600, somebody discovered that and said, look how smart I am. Well, God said that. But told Moses. God told Moses in the wilderness, said to the little babies, said, circumcise on the eighth day. I don't know any doctors here or nurses. But in hospitals today, it don't make a whole lot of difference. But back in the desert, it made a big difference. Two things make your blood clots. Finally, came from thrombin. God said circumcised on the eighth day. Why? Because those two things, vitamin K and prothrombin, they start out real, real little, and then they increase in the little baby's life, and they actually go to 110% on one day of their life. I'll give you one guess what that one day is on the eighth day. How in the world did Moses know that? Moses didn't, but God did. God did. Let God remain true and all men become. I heard about a boy in college one day. If you go to Ohio State or Wright State or something and take biology 101, you know, there'll be 400 people in there. And there's this professor, and he was teaching on the digestive process of marine mammals. And he made this statement. He said, surely nobody in my class would believe this nonsense about 3 days and three nights in the belly of a plate. I'm so glad that my students know better than that. And I don't have to worry about old superstitious nonsense. Not in my class. Nobody believes that, right? And there's a boy way back up at the top, and he held up his hand. And he said, I do. Professor said, oh, stand up. Tell us about it. You explain to us how the pH of the gastrointestinal tract and the pressure in the bottom of the sea and how you want to breathe down there and all of that. Why don't you just explain to us how that's possible, and then we'll all be as smart as you. And the young man said, sir, I don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask you. Professor said, what if you ain't there? The boy said, then you can ask me. But I can go to heaven, don't get me wrong. No. There's another side of the story. God's the author of life. God's the author of life. Darwin said, we think maybe it could be hundreds and hundreds of times. God said, this is the way it is. This is how it is. It takes 40 weeks to make a baby. That's true. Average. 3 weeks for a hen egg. Hen egg's kind of redundant in it anyway. But you know, how long does it take for a little duck to hatch? 4. Didn't know you learned that in church this morning, did you? You know. It's all weeks. I think there's two exceptions, a certain quail and something else. But it's all weeks. Humans, 40 weeks. Drove Darwin crazy. Asked your doctor why. You know what his answer is? I don't know. I think the number 7 is the number of God's number. God's the author of life. And God just said, I'm the one that's doing this. And if evolution is true, that statistic would not hold. But yet there it is. And it's undeniable. There's just, the Bible's full of things like that, ain't it? Old S.M. Lockridge, he said, Rembrandt, like paints a picture, and he writes Rembrandt at the bottom. Van Gogh carves a statue and he puts Van Gogh. He said, would you go out in the garden when the dew was on the roses, the sun peeks its head up, and those little droplets catch those first rays of the morning sun. He said, that doesn't need a signature. There's only one that does that. You walk outside after a thunder shower in the sun when that rainbow's in the sky. It doesn't need a signature. There's only one that does that. You walk out in the woods and the mockingbird sings you a little concert. You don't have to say, there's only one that gave that mockingbird that song. There's just one. Amen? And don't be ashamed of your Bible. God help us to never be ashamed of the gospel. God help us to never be ashamed of the Bible. And then real quickly, let me give you some more. God help us to never be ashamed of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12. Look at that real quick. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God help us to never be ashamed of Christ. Never be ashamed. Guys, can I talk to you a minute? There's nobody here but us. If your favorite team, basketball team on the planet is Duke, Blue Devils, all you got to do is come up here and repent. God will forgive you. I tease it, you know. If you like Duke, you know, maybe you like Kentucky Wildcats, then you're out. We're friends, amen. But anyway, you know, you go to the barbershop and somebody starts bad-mouthing your team. Well, Duke's awful and Mike Krzyzewski's an idiot and everybody knows they cheat and they're a bunch of spoiled rich kids, you know. You know, most Duke fans won't put up with that too long. talk about Kentucky, you know. Everybody knows Calipari's a crook, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, you know, but we're ready to fight. And isn't it true that sometimes we go in there and sit and they begin to take our Lord's name in vain and say everything in the world and blaspheme and take great delight in it, and there we sit. And we'd speak up for a basketball team or Ohio State or somebody, and there we sit and say nothing. Now, I'm not saying you jump up and hit anybody. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you're the only blood-bought child of God, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, some guys, I've got a different opinion of that one whose name you keep using. He changed my life. I heard about a preacher up in Chicago, and he sat for about 20 minutes and listened to all that stuff, and he couldn't stand it anymore. And he said, all right. And he stood up right in the barber chair. Says the first time in his life he ever preached with a robe on. And he said, guys, I listened for 20 minutes. I'm going to talk for 20 minutes. And he gave them a little sermon. Nobody got saved, but the next time he went in the barbershop, they talked different. Now, I'm not saying you walk around with a family Bible smacking people. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, somebody say something about your mama, you'll say something. Don't talk about my mom now. You know, I like you so far. You talk about my mom, we'll have a problem. And if you're worth the salt and the biscuit, don't let nobody talk about your mom. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if we speak up for mama, what about saying, I love the Lord. He lives in my heart. I want to see Him in heaven someday. I'm thankful for the day that He saved me. It's okay to say that at the beauty shop, at the post office, at the barber shop, over at Kroger's, at Walmart. You don't have to smack people, but sadly, we sit there with our Baptist teeth in our mouth and we act like we're ashamed. Amen. God help us. I think sometimes I wonder when people won't be scripturally baptized. God help us. Well, I'm saved, but I don't want to be baptized. Yeah. We need to fill this up, preacher. At least there's no Christmas decorations. When I go somewhere and preach and they got Christmas decorations in there, I say, Lord, we're in trouble now. You know? Amen. We'll fill her up. We'll get that thing filled up. When I was a little boy, my favorite part of every Sunday was when my daddy baptized people. You say, was you a spiritual little fella? No, I was mean as a snake. But what it was back in those days, women wore their hair up on their head, looked kind of like the Tower of Babel. You know what I'm saying? You know? And I just thought it was so neat when they come up out of that water and have a little catalog around. You know that water? I'd take pictures. I stood around and took pictures. I thought that was great. But there's something kindly humbling about it. There really is. But I want to tell you something. You've been saved by the grace of God. If you've never been scripturally baptized and identified with a local church and get you a church family around you where you can bring your family, where you can support missionaries, where you can serve, where you've got a preacher that'll come and see you. You say, well, I sent my money to the guy on the TV. You go to the hospital, call him and see what happens. You have a preacher that will love you and ladies and friends and get your life centered in the church. This business line, well, I'm saved, I'm just not going to get too involved. Well, why in the world wouldn't you want it to be the very center of your life? Amen?
Amen.
God help us never be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed to look at Acts 5 and verse number 40. And I will hurry. Look at Acts 5 and verse number 40. Watch this. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. God help us, if we have to, be willing to suffer for Christ. I'm not saying that we want to, but Christian, I don't know when you quit, but I'll quit. What we enjoy and the lack of persecution is an aberration in church history. If you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, that's not about Baptists, that's about Protestants, but it's a very good read. You ought to read it. There's a trail of blood of each carol. If you study those histories of the church down through the ages, the normal is not what we have enjoyed. The normal really is persecution. It really is. And I can't help but wonder sometimes if that persecution was to ever come back. I believe it would separate the candy-legged soldiers from those that really love the Lord and mean what their testimony says. Does that make sense? The really willing to suffer. I was down in Hazard, Kentucky, preaching. It's about this time of year. It's hot. Man, it's hot.
sweet people. I mean, boy, they're sweet people. And I was trying to be a blessing. I was sitting over here, and a little girl got up to sing. Look at what it is. She's a cute little thing. I don't know, she's 12 or 13 years old, just a kid. And she was singing that song, and he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You ever heard that song? It's a pretty song.
Yeah.
And so she was singing, had a nice little voice, and I didn't think a whole lot about it. Preacher leaned over, and he said, Terrell, he said, that little kid just got saved about 2 weeks ago. I said, well, that's well, I'm glad you're saved. He said, but her mom is a drunk. I said, preacher, you ought to say alcoholic. Well, friend, I love you, but the Bible says drunk. He said, her mom's a drunk. And said, when she got saved, she went home, but word beat her home that she had got saved to a half-drunk mom, a little old shack on the side of a hill outside of Hazard, Kentucky. And that little girl came in the front yard. That mama had taken everything she could find that belonged to that little girl and thrown it in the front yard. She still had dolls. Her clothes. Threw it. The little girl came up and the mama began to yell, you think you're better than me. You think you've got religion. You think you're mocking me. You think you're something now. Put her arm around a big old black locust post and began to curse her own little darling child and said, get out of here. Get out of here. Leave. That little girl began to cry. She still had doll babies. Picked those dolls up and was walking down the road when the preacher and his wife going home saw her and rolled the window down and said, honey, what in the world? And she told them that story. And the preacher said, you get in the car with my wife and I, and we'll get it all figured out later, but you're going home with us tonight. And she was still living with them at that time. And I said, and I thought, that little kid has been through more in 2 weeks, as far as persecution, than I had been through in my whole life. I never had anything like that. And when she didn't know who loved her. She figured out that Jesus loved her. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I'm pretty much a Baptist, but sometimes I get a little Pentecostal. You know what I'm saying here? Like, and Mom, I'm telling you what, the glory filled my soul. I thank God for a little kid that would stand up and serve God and not be bitter. Man, I'd have been kicking pianos or something, I think. But show such maturity and trust in God that her whole life had come apart. And I thought, Terrell, if anything like that happened to you, how would you react? God help me, that little kid had reacted. Most of us have not seen anything like that. But we have forefathers that had. Those that went before us were willing. And I'm just simply saying, we think persecution is when the air conditioner goes out of church or a visitor gets our seat or something. You know, if the persecution came, how would I react? Amen? And then I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that we give invitation and cry and beg people to come to Christ. I'm not ashamed that we sing. I'm not ashamed that we preach. I'm not ashamed that we go out and knock on doors. I'm not ashamed that it's a Baptist church.
Amen.
What do you think I was going to say? I'm a Baptist preacher in a Baptist church. Do you see the sign out there that says Lighthouse Baptist? You think you're the only one going to heaven? No, I never said that. I don't believe that at all. I've never said that. But if you are going to heaven, you might as well go first class. But I've got wonderful friends in the Church of God, Assembly of God, and all that stuff. But everybody's taking the word Baptist off. I don't like the name Baptist. I mean, I just like it. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to be preached. I'm not ashamed to have Sunday school. I'm not ashamed that every Friday night we try to help people that are on addictions. And bring them in and feed them. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed the last Saturday we had a whole bus full went out. A whole bus full. And just started down Land Road knocking on every door. Again, you know. Boy, we sure would love to have you come to church. If you died today, you know what you're doing. I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. And then God help me to not be ashamed of this time. Is it 1 John 2:28, fellas? Is that what's on the board? And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Amen.
Years ago, I was up in Canada fishing. I remember some buddies. I was in high school. It was many years ago. And we drove dirt road, rode a boat. They said 17 miles, camped on an island. We were way back in the woods. Back when I was a teenager, you could do that. Nowadays, it's too dangerous. But anyway. There we were, gets dark, you got to go to bed. If you don't go to bed out there, the skeeters will haul you off. I'm telling you, you know, you got to go to bed. So got dark, got in bed, and I'm laying there, you know, and wore out. Going to go home the next day, and the lantern's out, the fire's pretty much out. There's across the lake, somebody had a little generator that they turned on every now and then in the cabin. But other than that, it'll get dark. And this happened, folks. All of a sudden, the sky lit up. I'm telling you, the sky lit up. And it was colors, and the colors were streaking, going up and down, flashing across the sky. Y'all were ahead of me. It was the northern lights. And usually don't see them that bright, that far south. But man, there they were. Well, I'd never seen it before. And I what in the world? And you could see both through the tent. You know, you can move. And jumped out of sleeping bag. There was two or three other guys with me. And there's a guy named Mark Collins. And we jumped out there, and I looked up. And my nickname's Hud. When you forget all about this room, you'll remember his nickname's Hud. You know, that's my nickname, Hud. He said, Hud! He said, what is it? And y'all are going to laugh at me here. I said, I think the word's coming back. I meant it. I really did. I couldn't figure out anything. What else could it be? But I was kind of like, why am I going up? You know, boy, there they are. And the lights was coming, and my heart just started pounding, and I thought, this is it? Well, it was the northern lights. I'm going to tell you something. But the Lord built his temple in heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The day will come, it's not going to be the Lord of lights. And when that day comes, listen to me, when I meet him, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want others to have something laid at his feet and me not have something. If that makes me whatever it makes me, that's exactly what I am. But I don't want others to have something laid at his feet and not me. I don't want others hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to look at me and smile and shake his head. I can't say that. I don't want that. And when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. Daniel 12 talks about some who raise everlasting life and some raise everlasting shame when that moment comes. Which we got to quit, folks. God help us to never be ashamed. God help us never be ashamed of Christ. God help us never be ashamed of the Bible. God help us never be ashamed of your church. God help us never be ashamed to suffer for Christ. God help us to never be ashamed if we're called upon, when we stand before him, to not be ashamed. Never be ashamed. If you acted ashamed, we talk. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar prayer and say, the next time I have an opportunity, I'll speak for the Lord. I'm going to pull a track out and say, I feel different. Would you read this? I just want to be your friend. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to choke them. You don't have to kick them. But you can show them the love of Christ if you're not ashamed. God help us to never be ashamed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. How many said to me, Brother Terrell, I've never been saved. I've never done that. Or you might say, preacher, I don't know. I'm just confused. Sometimes people say, I prayed and it seemed like nothing happened. You'd say, preacher, I don't know, but I know I'm not confident that if that happened today, that I'd go to heaven. Can I pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I don't know how Pastor Woodworth normally does anything.